good to see all you guys. Hope you're doing well as well. Tom in New York, and I trust can hear me right now. I think we got, are we 2 for 2 on these intros, Tommy? Are we good to go?
Can you hear me, Mad Dog?
All right, we got it. We got it. Feeling pretty good. I don't know why that was more nerve-wracking than the first time. I think through the first time we went over it so many times, I was like, it's got to, I don't know. I can't screw this up. But this time around, I was like, maybe I could, but I didn't. And we're good. And we're that much closer to the spring showcase. You know, kind of funny, by the way, yesterday, guys, as we get into the show, I couldn't help but laugh at some of the comments from Mike Norvell after yesterday's practice. You could tell they're just ready to get moving on this showcase. In fact, quote, it's not a game. It's a showcase. The main part of the scoring will be in the grand finale. It'll be a lot of fun just to see how those guys get out there and compete. that's a guy that is trying to warn fans, like, hey, friendly reminder, spring games kind of suck. They're great to be at because you're with friends and you get to see the athletes and you get to lay your eyes on people perhaps that you haven't seen yet before, which is important. But just in terms of the competitiveness of a game, it's not as much.
Of course he's lukewarm on it because you don't run live special teams, you know, and he loves special teams, and they never run live special teams in spring games. It'll be compelling, though, because you have the depth and you have youth and you have position battles. And I would think as Florida State coaches chart what they see in practices and scrimmages and in this particular event on Saturday, this one gets the most weight. Of, all right, this is the closest thing to game pressure that you're going to feel. We've got an opening for a job at safety. We've got an opening for a job at linebacker. How did you react during the showcase? I'm going to weigh that more heavily than a random Tuesday practice in week 2 of spring. So that's the thing that they're looking forward to. The issue, you know, the damper on this proceeding is that he announced yesterday that you're not going to have Brock Glenn or Luke Cromenhawk. And damn it, man, like Trevor Jackson's a nice player, but a big draw for a lot of people, including me. I wanted to see how Luke would have handled this setting, and it's such a shame that we will not see him.
Yeah, I don't know why. I saw the reaction on our boards. If you're on the warchant.com website there, if you're a member and you're going on and looking to see what people's reactions are to that news, you know, you'd think in some cases that it was catastrophic. I just don't worry about it. I figure that I've seen – now, again, that's me because I'm out there and I've seen enough from those two quarterbacks in particular to know that they're on the right track. And, yeah, Cromenhawk, that would be a different deal because we've seen Brock Glenn in actual games. And, yes, he didn't fare well in really unforeseen and unfortunate circumstances. But you saw enough to know the throws are there, the athleticism is there. Obviously, he had opportunities last year in practice as well, save for when he was down with injury, to know that that's moving in the right direction. Cromenhawk would have been nice for people that haven't been able to lay eyes on a big, strong kid with a big arm. But I don't know that I would have learned anything more than I know already. I guess I'm being selfish in that sense because a lot of people have not seen him. I'm not worried about it. We get to this stage of spring practice, my mind shifts invariably to nobody get hurt, no more people get banged up, get through spring. The other part of it, and I didn't play 4 years of college football. I played one, but I'll tell you this, I hated spring. I thought it sucked. I just hated it. I think players hate it too. It's just not fun. It's like, out here busting my ass. We're not playing a real game at any point. This stinks.
I feel like the way you describe spring is the same every year where you're excited for it. You're glad to see it. We get the access to practice. And by the end of it, you're saying this. Yeah, I'm over it. I'm over this particular process. I'm not because there's competition.
There is. It starts to wane at this time though, Tom, like the competition, the good days, the brutal, intense days of competition are kind of behind them. Like they're not going to war in the spring showcase, buddy.
In some respects, yes. In some respects, no. But this is, you're right. You're right to call yourself out and say this is selfish because you do get to see practice. I get excited for other people to be able to see what we've been talking about, what we've seen with our own eyes. And I think it's a shame that a lot of fans who are excited to see Luke Cromenhawk gunslinging from the three quarter. I mean, he's got a weird delivery, kind of whips the ball around. I wish that they could see that in this particular circumstance. You know, we were, as the fans were, for Jameis and his spring game, his infamous spring game. Yeah. That shot, you know, the expectations and the stock through the roof, because Jimbo didn't give us access. When we got to see that, that was really something. And it's something that now, 11 years later, we still remember and we still talk about. I just want as many of those moments for the people as possible. I know what DJU can do. I know what Luke can do, and Brock and Marvin Jones Jr. But you want the people to see Jalen Lucas. You want the people to see Malik Benson and his.
And they're going to. Yeah, they're going to. They're going to see him. I mean, that's what I mean by the quarterbacks being down, the backup quarterbacks being down, the true freshman quarterback being down. I don't really care. They're going to get to see DJU. That's all they want to see. Let's be honest. Now, yes, again, if he were out, I mean, given that that guy projects to be the starting quarterback, if he were out, I think that would be a bummer. I'd let that fall into the category of, oh, well, damn, man, what are we doing here? That's the guy that's going to be starting. This stinks. But he's going to be there, and Jalen Lucas is going to be there, and all the guys that, you know, Jalen Brown's going to be out there, and Benson's going to be out. You know, like a lot of the guys that you need to see something from and want to get excited about because they've been mentioned so often. They were high-profile transfers. They've made an impact already in spring. There have been many post-practice interviews where Mike has referenced those players specifically as turning his head and flashing. All those guys are playing, as far as we know. Every one of those guys are playing. So I just don't get as bummed about it, I guess. You know. And, it's there's nothing – the part about this – Kyle's corner here writes in the Heiselinko Law Firm chat, I'm taking my six-year-old for his first FSU game, quote-unquote. He's really excited and will love it. I'm going to meet fellow fans and find good people. First time back at Doak since Jimbo. That is exactly what this is about. You are correct. The game day itself is about what Kyle's Corner put in the chat. Getting your kids out there, meeting up with people that you meet up with every year for football, that you've tailgated with for years, that you haven't seen since the last season wound down in devastating fashion, you know, that the chances to get together have waned because everybody goes back to their lives when football season's over. They don't have this, pseudo bi-weekly trip or whatever it is in some cases to Tallahassee where they can meet up and do all those things. This is an opportunity in the midst of the drought to be able to do that. But I don't think anything that happens in a spring game, unless it is a battle, you know what you described, Tom, with Jameis, that situation was truly unique because that was the can't miss five-star. Everybody on earth wanted that quarterback. This was all before transfer portal stuff existed. This was before NIL. This was when recruiting was the way it had been for a very long time. And once we had won the services for that kid, everybody had heard about this boy wonder that knew the playbook and could do all these things physically that so few could at that age. So everybody was clamoring for a glimpse. What would he look like? And, of course, he throws a touchdown pass to a walk-on wide receiver over LaMarcus Joyner on the first pass of the spring game, which just adds to the legend, right? But what about this spring game or really any of the others before or after that would ever live up to that? That was a unique set of circumstances.
It was, and it was an open quarterback competition too, where Clint Trickett was the veteran and Jacob Coker and Jameis Winston were the two younger players that were vying for time. So an open quarterback competition does lead for the most intrigue in a spring game, even if it's not, you know, replete with a player like Jameis, somebody of that caliber, because then there are stakes. You know, it won't get decided in the fall. It didn't get decided until the fall as to who Florida State's starting quarterback was going to be. But you feel like there are real stakes in the spring game. It's not about the garnet winning or the gold winning or how many simulated points one side gets. It's about who's going to win a job and who's going to put a marker down for everybody to think about over the summer and say, this is going to be my job. Now, that is going to happen on Saturday for a lot of other position groups. It's just not that it's not going to be for quarterback. And the thought is, you know, Brock is a really good player. What you saw from game one to game two, the growth there, the good moments in practice, it's worth getting excited about. But I mean, it's going to be a battle for the primary backup job this fall. And it would have been cool to see those two young players, those two young quarterbacks get out there. So when DJU's not on the field, you're still on the edge of your seat. Now, Trevor Jackson is not a pure walk-on type player.
No, he's not nothing, man. That's a good player.
Correct. So there's that extra level of intrigue is there. It's just it would have been a whole lot extra if you got to see Brock and you're like, oh, man, I got to catch my breath. I just watched a great series from DJ. Here comes Brock. Here comes Luke. There's still going to be some stuff out there. It's just not quite as glitzy and glamorous as it could have been.
Mike went on to say, I just am picking off quotes here from yesterday's post-practice interview. The offense started off well. Defense responded very well. Still have some communication things to work on. Brock Glenn and Luke Kromenhoek will both be out the rest of the week. They're dealing with some minor things. Trevor Jackson has done well getting the two reps this week for the last few days. Thought he's done some very nice things. DJ continues to grow. Malik Benson looked really great today. He goes on to talk more about Malik Benson, by the way, and what he is for this team. He talked about you know, what he loves about him is that he's been a great fit for the program. I think he's right about that. I've seen some of that. It's been fun kind of watching that, by the way, and the way that that young man approaches this with such a maturity, a very high maturity level. But it's funny. All the rest of Mike's quotes sound like a guy who's ready to kind of get through this. And I don't mean it that way, but it just, he knows they're winding things down. And as he said, they didn't have a scrimmage this week. And even this showcase is not a scrimmage. So, you know, I think they're just trying to kind of wind things down here. Most of the intensity is different, but what do you make of him commenting on all these tight ends? And wouldn't it be funny? Jackson West is truly emerging as a guy that has an opportunity. Quote, I think he has a chance to have a great year, talking about Jackson West. Very excited about that room. He can be as good as he wants to be. Look, man, Jackson West, it looks like an Adonis. He's a guy that we've had high hopes for a while. The tight end room is oddly one of the more intriguing rooms, one of the more intriguing segment groups on the entire roster, because we have some question marks. He brought up Landon Thomas, quote, he's going to play for us this year. Absolutely. There's no doubt Landon Thomas as a receiver is going to play for them this year. On Brian Courtney, he's taken some big steps. Okay. And then on Kyle Morlock, he continues to push. I don't even know what the hell that means. So they're kind of just generic remarks about the tight end room. You think they go out and grab one?
Oh, I think it depends on, you know, best player available against the roster crunch. I don't think that they're going to prioritize it at the top of the list. But as we've discussed, if you're going to find a game changer and it's at tight end and you could find a rotational player at linebacker or receiver, take the game changer and go get a tight end. I've got a couple of notes about two of those tight ends from last Thursday's practice. Landon Thomas had a pancake block in the open field against a large man, and that was very impressive for a true freshman. And then Jackson West, I put snarl, mean. He does play with an extra bit of edge. The question for Jackson, and good as he wants to be, or for Mike Norvell, I think it's about catching the football. It's about the ability to catch the football. He does have the other stuff down. I feel better about inline tight end blocking after seeing a couple of practices of Jackson West this spring. I don't think they have to. But if they're getting to a place where, let's say they grab an interior defensive lineman and now they've got another couple of spots and the best player on the boards at tight end, I'd be interested to see if they bring somebody in for a visit at the very least.
Yeah, me too. First of all, with the way that Florida State has utilized the portal and the way Mike Norvell and his staff have vetted the players that are available from other teams that have entered the portal, this process becomes more intriguing for people who follow Florida State and root for Florida State and care about the roster building at Florida State than virtually anywhere else. Of the programs that are playoff contenders, I would contend that that is true. The exception might be, if you wanted to push back on that, if you think Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are going to be a playoff team, which I never do. I never think they are. So I don't really, I mean, I always, every year there's a lot to that. People blow it up and I'm like, yeah, they'll lose three games, whatever. But that said, they have gone crazy in the portal and they've had a good run to the point where people have the audacity to refer to him in some way as a portal king. Sweet Jesus, folks, pay attention to what you're doing here. Ain't no bigger portal king in the land than Mike Norvell. It's not close.
Yeah, man, you got to parlay that into something. Like, that's great that you might win some of the rankings on some of the systems, but you got to parlay that into some kind of banner, something close to an undefeated run. I mean, come on, man. Lane loses games. I'll never forget the SEC CBS game where he said, get your popcorn ready, and he flipped the mic or he flipped his hat off or whatever.
Their ass beat by like 35.
Yeah, clown show. Get out of here. Don't. If you're going to do that, you better roll, because that is – if I'm negatively recruiting Ole Miss, I just show the kid that clip and say, look at this fake. Look at this fraud. You might score 40 points a game against Mississippi State. Congratulations, you won an Egg Bowl. Other than that, you're not doing much of anything. Come play for me instead, son.
Restrictions people want to know about, Tom, before we break. Is it true we can't contact players in the portal until Sunday due to the NCAA violations? That is in the HISA link aloft from chat from Justin. And I did not do my due diligence to where I feel secure answering that. Is that accurate?
I have a text from yesterday that I believe that is indeed accurate.
You know what I think about that, and it's easy for me behind a mic to say these things. I'll fully and readily admit this, but I wouldn't abide by those rules. I wouldn't adhere to those rules at all. Well, I would contact people through a third party if I had to, which I, you know what, call me jaded, everybody. But I suspect this is the kind of thing that happens anywhere and everywhere. And I would say, like, there was a player, for example, if there was a really good player that I thought was going to be a huge fit for us at a certain position, and I intended to reach out to him and his name is now in the portal, I'm still finding a way to reach out to him, I promise you. It maybe won't be some long, protracted give and take. Just a hang in there before you make that decision. There'll be a call coming in, you know, Sunday at midnight.
Yeah, I think you'd have contact through a person who knows the contact is coming. You wouldn't talk to the kid, because look, all it takes is a kid to not be thoughtful in a moment on an interview, in an interview setting.
And say they contacted
with On Three. Well, I've heard from Florida State, like, you're dead. Can't do that. Can't have it. So I think you probably talk to an intermediary so the kid can never say and slip up and say, I've heard from Florida State, I'll be visiting them next Tuesday. Like, no, that's not going to fly. I agree. It seems silly. We'll work around it. Florida State's a destination, so that's the good thing. Maybe a couple of years ago, this would have hurt more because we're not proven. But because Florida State is proven, it's an assembly line to the NFL from the transfer portal. You're going to make a lot of money. I think kids are going to wait to make a decision before Florida State, decides to call or not.
Especially if somehow they were to be alerted that the school was interested. And if somehow that message got back to them, not from us per se, but as you said, from some third or fourth or even fifth party, somebody that obviously allows for plausible deniability the way that political pundits do it, right? I mean, you got to have plausible deniability, and I'd have all kinds of plausible deniability throughout the country waiting on me. You'd never bring it back to me, but I would be able to talk to whoever the hell I wanted to talk to.
This is DiVincenzo. I haven't taken biology in 3 years. What are you doing at my locker? Go Noles, Ted. Go Noles.
How great is that, right? I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? It's nuts. Chef Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So, you know, I'll half joke about what I was just saying a moment ago. I'll get back into that here in a second. Tom, we had a question in the Heisman Legal Law Firm chat that I do want to answer because it involves the events that are going on this week. And if you want to push it back on the big screen there, John wrote, is there a way to meet up with you guys before the spring game? So you guys driving around, listen up. Those of you in the chat, there it is. It's right before you. So tomorrow we're doing a charity show for the second harvest of the Big Ben. And last year we did this. This is not a way for you to meet up, but it is a way for you to help. And we really appreciate those who came through for us last year. And I think we raised quite a bit of money, as I recall, last year. We had a goal of like, I think our goal was pretty minimal, like 4,000. I think we hit to over 8, which was awesome. So if you guys could man the ship and be ready to go tomorrow, that'd be great because we're going to do it again and help these fine folks who do an amazing job of feeding, educating, engaging for those that need it. And that'll be helpful. And then Friday, I will tell you, is the show, 1 to 3. 5 o'clock is the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill meet and greet. We'll be there, really. I often say it's less than a meet and greet. I don't know if I feel comfortable like people. What I mean by that is we're not famous. We're just radio dudes and all that. So just come hang out and have a couple drinks. Let's just chill and talk football and let me get to know you. It'd be great. Swing on by if you can. And really, I can tell you there's a couple things you can do there with that. I'll get to the pregame show and the Hotel Indigo meet and greet as well. But if you come by tomorrow to the CP on Appalachia, or Friday to the CP on at 5 o'clock, come on in. You still have time to do both. The other big event is what's going on with the Battles Inn at the Moon. Mike Norvell will be there. That event goes from 5 to 7:30. It's only $40. General admission tickets available, VIP sponsorships, just a couple still available. And the proceeds from the event benefit the Battles Inn. And they're going to have, I know Ira Shaffel, our own Ira Shaffel, will be part of a panel of people that, you know, on the beat, the cover, that talk about their observations of the spring game. I know they're going to be some former players, maybe even a couple current players. There's also going to be an opportunity to bid on some items that are unique from Florida State and in a silent auction. So that'll be really cool as well. A lot of things. If you want tickets to that, go to thebattlesin.com. But there's a way to make this an awesome Friday. And it starts by swinging by the CP and saying, hey, having a cold one, let's chat it up. Make your way on over to the Moon afterwards. Be part of that State of the Knowles event, if you will, from the Battles Inn. And then cruise on into Saturday knowing that, yeah, there'll be a pregame show. Tom and myself, as always, responsible for that pregame show. We'll do that at noon, right in the middle of the day. You guys are sitting around tailgating, having a good time, munching on some Zaxby's, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, this is perfect. Throw on Jeff and Tom. Let's get their thoughts at what they saw throughout spring and what they expect today and maybe a little bit of a projection for the next season. And then at 2 o'clock, right after we finish that pregame show, I'll be making my way over to Hotel Indigo and where we go for all the games on Saturdays throughout the course of the year. We're up there on that top floor. It's always a lot of fun. It's a breathtaking view. The weather's beautiful. They'll have drinks and we'll just hang out. And then you can make your way on into the stadium. It's really nothing more than a hangout, which will be great. And then you go on over into the stadium and you watch the showcase. And then after the event is over, even more goodness. This is what you can do when you have a big staff, and it's the best staff there is covering Florida State athletics. There's a post-game call-in show. Guys can all kind of talk about what it is you saw, what it is you liked, what it is you're concerned about, whatever it might be. Post-game call-in show, 10 to 15 minutes after the showcase. That's Tom and Gene. They do a great job, and they are infinitely patient, and they take calls for days. It goes on forever and ever. Really, it takes the kind of kindness and patience only Tom Lang and Gene have to do that post-game show to the length that they do it, and I commend them for it.
We've got good callers, man. This is not,
I'm not ragging callers. I'm just saying, man, that could go on for days. There have been games, man, where you're just taking calls from people bitching about the game.
not many after a 19 game winning streak, but I will tell you the Orange Bowl one was a little tough. That was a tough post game show.
What is there to talk about after that game? It was such a non-game, a non-starter. It's like it's indicative of nothing.
You had a guy questioning the culture of young men, the heart of young men, whether or not that they actually believe in standing up for their teammates. I mean, I was like, oh boy, okay.
Now, let me tell you something on that, since we can reflect a little bit here. Look, I didn't like it. And I hate, I'm 52 years old, so I'm probably part of that much older generation that looked at that and thought, man, that ain't it. That's not what you do. But I also am modern enough to know and wise enough to know to take a step back from those feelings and really consider the situation. I also think, and I don't put blame, we talk about I take shots at callers or whatever. I'll be honest with you. I kind of pitied a lot of people who did not understand the depths to which, and there were a lot of people who did not know because we weren't allowed to talk about it, Tom. And so this isn't their fault. I knew the second they got snubbed that game was always going to be an unholy ass kicking and set it on the air. I even kind of hinted that if you were a sporting guy or gal and you had it in your heart to do, if you could somehow do it, 14 ain't nothing to give with Georgia. Is what I was saying. I said that on the air. And here's what I was thinking. Not only did you strip away the meaning of the games to where those kids had nothing to fall back on and believe in because they were cheated out of what was rightfully theirs, but also, and for the first time ever that had happened, that a Power 5 undefeated team and conference champion got snubbed in that manner. It's never happened. So easy for all the fans of all the other teams that have never had it happen to them say, oh, why don't you just buck up? Why don't you just accept it and understand that you can send a message? There ain't no message being sent in that situation. It's an exhibition game. That's what's happened to these damn games. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality, and people don't want to deal with that reality. That Orange Bowl didn't mean anything. So once that happened and we knew the depth to which that team was hurt, it was never going to be a contest. I knew of at least 9 players that needed either major to minor procedures and a whole host of other players that had to get right before turning the corner and competing and performing at the very best of their abilities to go make money. They were going to have to get their bodies in perfect condition so that they could showcase what they were in order to get drafted. So it was a perfect recipe for what we saw in that game. But there were a lot of people who just didn't know. And it felt like, oh, well, 7 of these guys who were starters or 10 of these guys or 15 of these guys or whatever who were starters that said no, were just doing so as if they were pouting. But it was so much more than that.
Yeah, it was. There were some cases of straight opt-outs, and I don't blame – the way I said it then is the way I feel now about it. I don't blame anybody for how they react to that situation. It's unprecedented. It's totally unprecedented. You don't go undefeated in college football and be in a position like that with 4 seats at the table, that you don't get one of the 4 seats. Like, that's just – it's crazy. Now, it also didn't take – even though, we're in the media – it didn't take a rocket scientist to see how banged up this team was, given the injury reports down the stretch in November for the Florida game, for the ACC championship game, and some of the guys you see limping around the football field, Tatum Bethune having to leave the field, and he's missing for drives in the ACC championship. He comes back, and he has the heroic drive where Florida State is pinned back in a short field, and by himself, he gets a stand. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you knew what the receiver room was like. You knew that the defensive line was banged, that the offensive line was terribly banged up. We told you in October, November, Maurice Smith is playing injured. Look at him. He could barely move out there, but this guy's a hero for us. So, yeah, injury was a big part of that. But so was being told all season long that if you win all your games, don't worry about it. Quit your bitching. If you win all your games, you're going to be in the playoff. That's the message from national pundits to Florida State University. Well, they did that. And then they were left out. And some of those same pundits act indignant about the fact that there's criticism and blowback for going undefeated and being left out. Don't have to relitigate it all. The feelings are still visceral, but they're not as crazy as they were in December. But that was a situation where you're going to question the culture of this program. Well, look at what just happened this spring, everybody. Everything's fine. I'm sure there was a brief period in which the coaching staff held their breath and wondered, but I think that's when we got Mike Norvell after the tour of duty workout, and he was talking, and Josh Storms was talking about what they saw, and this was the most impressive tour of duty that they've seen in terms of investment in the work. I'll bet there was a time in which they exhaled, and they said, good, good. These kids, they got right back on the horse, and I think that they love this team for that.
It'll be very interesting to see how Florida State, you know, we're not, I mean, it's April, but this is really the last month where you don't have this nagging, biting feeling about football in the air. It's strange. It happens every year. You know, Tom, I begin sort of the serious conversations. Now, we take some time off like everybody else does over the summer. I'm not any different than anybody else. I've got kids in school, and when they get out of school, it's the opportunity you have as a family to go and visit. Perhaps go to New York and see your buddy Tom, his lovely wife Jamie, and hang out and go see some things the kids haven't seen, and drive over to Philadelphia and do some things as well. Yeah, that's going to happen because that's our time. But I'll be honest with you that outside of that little realm of vacation time we all try to take, a beach here or there, a historical place, or maybe even if you're lucky enough, a trip overseas, whatever it might be that you have planned with your family, outside of that, man, once it turns to May, you're kind of thinking about, all right, It all happens so fast. It does. And I've made jokes about it for a long time. Oh, May, it's practically June. When you're in June, it's football. You know, we do this all the time. But I'm really fascinated to see, A, not only how we play, and I think Florida State's going to play well, but B, how is Florida State spoken about? Not that I need any favors, not that I am begging for, pleading for, anything like that. I think as time has passed, a lot of people, including arch enemies, took time to take a step back and think about how hideous what took place and how hideous that was, how bad it was for the game, the integrity of the sport. And of course, they can just say now, it's not going to matter. There's 12 teams. It's not, nobody's ever going to go through that again. But man, that kind of wrong lingers.
Yeah,
and reveals an ugliness and an underbelly that it was exposed. It was suspected, but then exposed in a way that it never had been. And it also painted certain people in a certain light.
Yeah.
And it'll be very interesting to see the response from those people.
Yeah. And if we'll excise from the discussion, the nuts, and I'm talking about the fans, like the nuts who, you know, the threats and those people.
Oh, that should never happen. Well, of course. Right.
Let's just excise that from the discussion and say, you people are crazy and we condone none of that.
Any reasonable fair. Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
It feels like the Jameis thing. Like, I got to say this part so I can say this
every
part.
Time. Yeah.
Just if you're going to go to a game day this year, I wouldn't. I'd go to a war chant game day. I wouldn't go to a game day. Just bring a sign that says Herbie is insecure. That's it. It's a simple thing. Because the insecurity of the national pundits rose to the surface. Those who almost like they felt guilty about something. Made no sense. Well, I watch 10 to 15 live games a week. Really? Oh,
crazy person stuff, yeah.
So you're talking about 50 hours of football consumption when you work Thursday nights for the NFL.
It's an overstatement because it is a thou protest too much moment.
It's insecurity because you know something wrong was done. Something, whether it was by your hand or by somebody else's hand that you have to defend because you're a shill, something wrong was done. And you might have said something that maybe you didn't even mean in November, but people are going to hold you to it because it's on camera. And what you said came true after you said it on camera, on your show. So that's the thing where he's not the only one. There are some others who feel awfully insecure about what happened to Florida State. We know what happened. Either they can't admit it or they won't admit it to themselves. But if you're going to go to one of those settings, just a simple sign. That's neither mean nor cruel nor strange. It's just a statement. And it's true because people like him can't stop talking about the issue. They can't let it go because they can't believe that people don't like them. Well, newsflash, guys. People do not like you at all because you were the front men for what happened to Florida State. Something completely unprecedented. And that's not going to change for a long time.
No, I don't know that it, I mean, I feel like it's irreparable, right? I don't feel like that it can be overcome. There's a one day you and I, and we do this too often. I seriously one day want us to sit down and kind of get into the nuts and bolts theories of, now we all know the easiest thing to point to. And I think it's more nuanced than that, but man, I've got some thoughts on what I think happened and how things began to kind of spiral a little bit. And I think to some degree, there are certain people involved in all of that, that began to get very uncomfortable where that was going. And it was too late. Yeah. They were already along for the ride. They'd already agreed to play the game. They were carrying water, and now you're screwed. There ain't no going back. And it's like when you go back to the committee and we look over at a certain individual representing NC State, there they are for the ACC. How do you not recuse yourself? How do you not walk out of that room when you see what's about to go down and say, I will not be part of this? I will not be part of what you guys are about to do. I see the writing on the wall. I can see the way this is being maneuvered. And let me tell you something. If you're doing this, you're going to do it without me. And oh, by the way, I'm going to expose it.
Yeah. Well,
because there's more than just an announcer saying something stupid and being wrong about something. Yeah. There's the stuff behind the scenes, too.
Well, and they also, unfortunately, bad optics, guys. Bad. You thought it was a great, innocent moment in college football, but when you show the booth at the end of the Iron Bowl of the ABC primetime crew,
that was a bad look.
And one of them's jumping around like a schoolgirl who just got told that she's the number one seller of Girl Scout cookies in her class, and she gets to go on a trip to Disney or something along those lines. That's not a good look, especially when, you know, the head coach in Tuscaloosa is now your new colleague. And maybe, just maybe, you knew about that. It's the simplest test in the world for this scenario. If Florida State had come back against Florida, a bad Florida team, a woefully under 500 Florida team, and hit a miracle pass, and Alabama was undefeated and had its backup quarterback in that situation playing a less than stellar SEC East team, but right, ranked in the top 15, mind you, ranked in the top 15, mind you,
right, for the SEC championship. Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
Is Alabama getting left out? Is Florida State passing them over? How many times out of 100 is that happening?
No. Listen, one day on the Bellying Up, you and I will go through every machination of this and have a lot of fun with it. But until that day, we probably can't. Chef Cameron Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, guys and gals. Thanks for listening to the pod. You've heard me talk about Factor, and I absolutely think it's the perfect solution, less stress in your life this spring. Let Factor cook up a solution with delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef created, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. Get a weekly menu, about 35 different options. I've tried them all. They're all delicious. We get them at the Cameron family, and we love it. I switch it up every week, discover more than 60 add-ons as well, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch, snacks, beverages to help you stay fueled all day long. You get these prepared meals in just 2 minutes to heat up, and they're perfect. You're out the door, and you can get no-fuss meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle, prepping, cooking, cleaning up, all that stuff. Plus, they've got gourmet stuff in there, broccolini, truffle butter, asparagus, shrimp, filet mignon. Factor's the solution for fast, premium meals without the need to cook. I think it's a perfect solution. That's why we love it. Celebrating Earth Day all month long, look out for Earth Mother Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals too, if that's your thing. Head to factormeals.com/Cameron50. Use the code Cameron50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Cameron50 at factormeals.com/Cameron50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I should probably pay attention to the end of the spot block if I'm going to be triggering them. The cue saw the way back. I was like, oh, yeah, that's on me. Hey, really quickly, you saw during the break, the QR code was up, but I do want to remind you about our friends at Tried and True Consulting. Already getting good feedback. This is exciting. I like these guys a lot. Obviously, I don't do business with people that I don't at least trust and know do good work. But most of the time, things that I'm endorsing or anything I'm involved with, I like to know that the folks are good people as well. These two guys are Knowles. Tried and True Consulting is a payment and business solutions company owned by fellow Knowles. And they're committed to reducing costs and increasing your bottom line. That's a good thing. Nobody's upset about that. The other thing they'll do at Tried and True Consulting is they'll give back 10% of their net revenue to the Battle's End. So it's a trifecta. Make it happen. Scan that QR code, find out more, or you can call alumni's Don or Joe at 844-464-6653, 844, I'm for Noel. go tried and true. Yeah, you know, Tom, we start talking about that subject again, and it pisses me off all over again, and I should probably just leave it alone because we've got an upcoming showcase game, and we got opportunities, and Florida State's not going to be stepping back. It's funny that we're at a place where we can just sit around and talk about expectations being playoff robust for the foreseeable future. I mean, I don't know the next time. Like, I disagreed with people at the end of the season when it was all said and done. I didn't think there was any way that Florida State wouldn't find themselves once again in a position, and that was even with Brock Glenn, by the way, to a certain extent, to win the conference for a second consecutive season and be part of the college football playoff, especially as it was expanding to 12. Then you went out and added all that you added. And now I just think that for the foreseeable future, with the way that they hit the portal and the way that they recruit, and they're getting better at high school recruiting, and they're continuing to add to the staff, I think Ernie Sims will help them. And when you think about high school recruiting, anyhow, I don't know the next time we're going to be looking at Florida State where we don't think that they're a viable team to make the college football playoff. How about that?
Yeah, it's gotten to a healthy place overnight. And it is thanks in large parts to the portal in this sense. Setting the line of scrimmage is critical. Setting the line of scrimmage is critical. And the portal has been the thing that's provided us most solutions on both sides of the trenches, you know, on both halves of the trenches. And I hope at some point in the next season or two, I don't think next season is going to happen, that the high school recruiting itself provides you what you need to set the tone on the line of scrimmage. I think you're probably going to have to dip in the portal again, especially to fortify that defensive front. You're going to lose so many dudes from that defensive front to the NFL this time next year. But we're getting there. We're getting there in high school recruiting. There are different position groups that could use some more help. But I think the offensive line actually might be a little bit closer to producing good starting solutions in the ACC. I think Andre Otto has a real shot to be a starter for you next year. Lucas Simmons has a real shot to be a starter for you next year. They love Jalen Early. We'll see about some of the other younger guys that are coming up through the ranks. But the portal has allowed for this thing to happen. And then the great part is you've built this reputation, not only as a coaching staff, the collective, the Battle's End, has built its reputation that if you come here, you will be rewarded to the level that you are, the market dictates that you are, and you'll be able to go pro because they're going to develop you here and make you better. Jared Verse's words about John Papuchis and how he helped develop him are invaluable moving forward. You know, Jermaine Johnson got the word out that Florida State's a good place to go. Jared Verse talked about refinement in his game. And this is between that and Odell's reputation, this is going to be a portal destination. Just hopefully high school gets to that place where we're doing that without having to dip into the portal each year.
Well, and I think you see the teams that win the national championship have done that, Tom. They have a better record of bringing in elite level talent at the line of scrimmage from the high school ranks. That's where they have almost an impeccable record. You really see that more and more because it's harder to find that in the portal. Not that you can't, but it's harder to do across the board. I also think, and I understand everybody's proud of their strength and conditioning program. I can't think of a program in America that's in a top 10 program that doesn't champion their people in that realm. But Josh Storms' reputation has continued to grow and get better as well because players, and it's one thing for fans to say, you know, our guys are strong and our guys are big and our guys, I love our strength and conditioning coach. I've never met somebody who's like, you know, really hate the strength and conditioning coach over there. You know, it's rare, right? But it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think or fans think or anything else about the strength and conditioning coach. That is a coach. That's really kind of the coach that where it matters most. They have the most interaction with the players, the most consistent day-to-day interaction with the players, and the results kind of speak for themselves. You better be at a certain level or you can't compete. You're just not going to be able to physically compete. So it's self-evident whether or not you're doing the job. But you need those players because you spend so much time with that strength and conditioning coach to really have glowing things to say about you as another recruiting factor. I mean, that's really where that comes into play because I think most schools, big-time programs, are going to do their due diligence as to whether or not the guy has a baseline knowledge of how to get bigger, how to get stronger, they all have nutrition staffs. They all have a lot of things at their fingertips to help them improve their bodies. But that guy is the guy delivering the theme, the through line, the messaging from the head coach. That's the guy.
and he has two pupils on the off on the defensive line, excuse me, on the defensive line that have been from the high school ranks. That man, when it comes to, you know, showing the flip book to the kids, you know, here's what I can do for you. Joshua Farmer now versus two seasons ago is a completely different human being. And he was already extremely impressive as an athlete 2 years ago. He is massive now. Just massive. Patrick Payton. Are the Patrick Payton's offseason. I mean, if you think about it, they're done around New Year's. We got to see them in March. That's 2.5 months. That's it. And he and you need recovery time after the season's over. So you got basically 2 months, and Patrick Payton transformed in that 8 to 10 week period of time. And those are both players that came out of the high school ranks. It's just supremely impressive what he's done, and hopefully it does continue, because the better athletes that you work with, the better the result. It almost feeds upon itself.
Yeah, when you have the greater clay, right? We always talk about that when you've got greater clay. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Attention, Florida, are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Lincoln Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Lincoln Law Firm. The name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLincolnLawFirm.com. It's Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices Tampa. When we come back here in a moment, Tom, I do want to talk a little bit about the transfer portal names that are in, and then you and I have assessed a little bit about what we think will happen in the portal and areas that we think Florida State will be interested in going after, but we haven't. Now it's open. Now you and I haven't talked since it opened. Yesterday was headlines. We haven't had a chance to say, okay, here's what I think. You know, this is what we suspect. This is what spring has revealed to a certain extent. So let's see what happens. And I do have an idea about at least two segment groups that I think Florida State will definitely be going after. So that'll be coming up next. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.